Hey, what's up, everyone? Extreme Rules is in the books, July 15th, 2018. I know I don't sound Hungarian. Even though we have the same first name, I am Don Tony, and this is your Wrestling Soup / Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. Joint effort. We're here together to give you the Extreme Rules pay-per-view recap. I am Don Tony, and join along with me is my co-host, as always,
Kevin Castle.
And on the Wrestling Soup side, we have Joey Numbers.
Ahoy.
And we got John Draper.
It's actually Constable Draper.
Oh, Constable Draper. Okay.
Yeah, right. They changed it. We changed it.
Yeah, yeah. He has to wear a vest while he does the show. That's the rule now.
Yeah, I wear a vest, and I look like Special Needs Batista.
Special Tista. Hey, well, you know what? I do have to say, every single week, it's like they come up with something to make Baron Corbin look less like a wrestler.
That is true.
That is a positive, where it's just like, hey, all right, let's get rid of your goofy skullet hair, because at least that kind of makes you look like a wrestler. Hey, let's get rid of the tights, because that kind of makes you look like a wrestler. Let's just put you in dress pants and a weird vest. You know, he looks like somebody that goes to a wedding, but isn't like an important guest.
Yeah.
Like it's just like it's like somebody that you work with and they're like, well, I got to go to this wedding, but I'm not going to dress up too much. You know,
I'm not wearing a tie. Fuck that.
Right. Yeah.
he looks like he's a bartender on a cruise line.
He's like a white Isaac.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I used to like Isaac. Isaac was my favorite character of the whole Love Boat.
Yeah,
I always liked them when I was a kid. I'm not kidding. When I was a kid, I used to like pretend with my friends and I would take my two fingers and point like, you know, the only problem is that my teeth were yellow and a little crooked because I didn't have braces yet at the time. But he would always smile and point the two fingers and he'd chuckle and everything. But I always liked Isaac. I think he's still alive.
Ted Lange.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
You know what's so ironic about that was whenever a single black woman would get on the cruise, she automatically would be attracted to Isaac. It's so weird.
Yeah,
like,
you know, actually,
who thought they would hook up?
You know, going back then, I don't think we ever had a mixed couple.
Not on Love Boat.
I've never seen it on Love Boat.
Are you talking about Love Boat or your neighborhood?
No, Well, Charo, I think, hooked up with Steubing one time. So is that a mixed?
Yeah, Charo was just Steubing.
Yeah, I guess.
Is that mixed? Why are we talking about this?
I don't know. Say,
it was better because Love Boat was better than the paper.
You know, yeah. I'm a little surprised that they haven't remade it now where you have, like, you know, the transgender Amy, you know, hooks up with, you know, this other person and they're struggling, or you have, you know, the different races on it, and then you have same-sex weddings and, you know, this Chinese person with this white person. I'm not saying this to sound like a dick. I'm surprised.
That's a regular cruise ship every week.
That's what I'm saying. I'm really surprised. Can you imagine
how cruise ships are?
Think of all the added storylines to confuse little, you know, Raphael. You know, like, why is daddy white and why is mommy black and why is this person straight? You know, I'm serious. Why, daddy, why are those two men kissing over there? You would have so many intriguing storylines if the Love Boat came back in 2018.
Yeah, give it 2 years. It'll be back. Everything gets rebooted.
Yeah.
So, hey, Dolph Ziggler's in main events of pay-per-views in 2018.
Exactly. What the hell's going on?
Evil Knievel. Evil. I liked his outfit tonight.
anything's possible.
People were online asking, hey, when was the last time the Intercontinental title was defended to close out a pay-per-view? And I did some quick research, and one came to my mind right off the bat. That was SummerSlam 1992, Bret Hart versus British Bulldog.
Right.
Doing some additional research, you technically could put In Your House, Beware of Dog 2. That was the second night where they had Goldust take on Undertaker for the Intercontinental title. But I know a lot of people tried to come up with Backlash 2001. I don't put that in the category because that was a tag team match. And not only was the IC title on the line, but the tag titles, the heavyweight title was on the line. So there were a whole bunch of belts on the line for that main event. Straight up intercontinental match. This is the first time technically since Beware of Dog In Your House. Beware of Dog 2.
Did Macho Man or Ultimate Warrior, as big as they were, headline pay-per-views when they were IC champions? No, because Hogan was always there, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, Bret Hart and British Bulldog was technically, you know, because In Your House, Beware of Dog 2 was not supposed to happen. That was because of everything that happened with the night before.
Yeah.
So they made it up with for the fans and gave them three additional matches. But technically, if you really want to go straight up, I guess you go SummerSlam 92 was the last time we had the IC title close it out.
Jesus wow. Christ. Hey, you know what I got to say, though, guys? Compared to the last pay-per-view and the Raw that I attended on Monday in Boston, this was actually pretty good compared to it.
Yeah, really? Comparatively speaking, this was one of the better bad pay-per-views of the year.
Shout out to the live chat. Big chat room audience tonight. And if you're a little bit awake and suffering from a little insomnia, after we're done with this recap tonight, I'm going to give everybody live a little sneak preview of This Week in Wrestling History for this week. If you're a fan of CM Punk, Matt Hardy, and Kurt Angle, you will love that episode.
Yeah,
lots of audio clips.
For show. No, I'm telling you, dude, I saw a lot of people shitting on this pay-per-view tonight. And honestly, I will say it wasn't like 4 hours of pure engagement. But like I said, compared to Raw and the last pay-per-view, which was absolutely insufferable, this was okay. It was okay. Yeah.
And the pay-per-view before that, the post-backlash, was one of the worst pay-per-views of the year, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So let's go down the line. I mean, whoever wants to go first, what was your favorite match of the night? What was your least favorite? And I don't even know if we could include Jeff Hardy and Nakamura as far as any match. Right? Oh, yeah, I guess we have to. But
title change? It was a title change.
Yeah. What did you think of what was your favorite match and least favorite tonight? I mean, what was your overall thoughts of the pay-per-view as a whole?
I mean, like I said, it was just okay compared to what we've been seeing recently. It wasn't terrible. I don't know if it was just because I approached it kind of with the idea of, okay, coming off of Monday, which I've already, you know, relayed what that was like on Soup on Thursday, which I went to that Raw and there were people falling asleep around me. There were people that were literally, I wanted to leave at 9:30. It was bad, dude. It was a terrible show. That to actually get to see some of this culminate and stuff that was palatable, not half bad. The shit that we knew was not going to be very good ended quickly, which is nice. And the things that were going to be pretty, you know, pretty good, they lasted the exact amount of time that they should. So I really can't find too much to really hate about this pay-per-view. Sans, of course, the whole thing with Asuka, who should just, at this point, should just pack a bag and leave.
I mean, let's be honest, guys. They have two other Japanese women that they seem much more interested in at this point. One that's coming in and one that's coming up with Kairi Sane. I think Kairi Sane is probably cuter. She's just a little bit, that elbow off the top rope is sick. And I just think that she's, maybe it is a racial thing. I don't know, have any evidence of that. But I think Asuka not working out the way they wanted it to, and she's going down the ladder. Kairi Sane's climbing up, and then they signed, what's her name? She's going to be a big star probably too. I think they just maybe are having, not buyer's remorse with Asuka, but just not thinking she's going to go where they want her to go.
Well, you know? Why spend 2.5 years building somebody up to do this?
I don't know, dude. I mean, they've, you know, not the first time wrestling has done this before. I mean, you know, they do that sometimes. Sometimes it's not what they think it's going to be. And listen, Asuka doesn't exactly get an overwhelming reaction from the crowd. She really doesn't, if we're being honest. I think she's good. I like Kairi Sane a lot better. I think she's cuter. She's more relatable. Maybe because she's younger and just more, I don't know. There's just something about, and you know, WWE, they don't like to push people of the same ilk, so to speak, let alone the same nationality. So I just think that, yeah, I mean, that's bad news for her that they signed another famous Japanese woman. I think it only means bad news for Asuka. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with Kairi Sane if she actually wins the title from Shayna Baszler and that gets brought up. But that's Mella pinning her. Carmella's not getting any better in the ring. She's still horrible.
I totally disagree with everything you said.
Well, you always disagree.
Well, that's what makes the show fun. I mean, that's what makes it enjoyable. I mean, would it be better if I said, yeah, I agree?
No.
No, I'll tell you why I disagree with you. I agree with you as far as the fan side of it looking at it this way. I don't blame fans for looking at that way at all, because that's the way it feels. What you're saying is spot on. But the reason why I disagree with you is this. I made a little joke earlier that, to me, at best, Mella is Monopoly money. She's not even money. And a long time ago, I said the three things that she does good is moonwalk, scream, and taunt. That's all she does.
don't even think she moonwalks good. That guy that won that clip last week moonwalked a lot better.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the Michael Jackson guy.
Oh, that guy was amazing.
But the thing with Carmella is this. WWE has this fascination with her being champion right now. And it's obvious, you know, and look, Carmella, she's obviously got confidence to herself, but I think if she is a lifelong wrestling fan or a longtime wrestling fan, she's got to look in the mirror and say to herself, you know, yeah, I'm on TV, I'm the champion, but man, Carmella, the character, is the drizzling shits, and I'll tell you why. I'll be quick with this. Yeah. All right, if she herself has not shown much in the ring. All right, and they brought back James Ellsworth because they needed additional ways to have her win by clusterfuck. And that's really what it is. And James Ellsworth is also a divergent, just like Randy Orton was tonight as well. Before fans could get to the point where they want to throw garbage in the ring because Asuka got screwed, oh, let's just throw James Ellsworth in there for bait, and she gets the revenge, and everybody, you know, some reason happy about it, and then you go home, and then you realize later on, wait, what the fuck did I see earlier today? So the thing with Mella is if they're going to have her be champion, right, the only way that they could possibly give her a little bit of credibility is she's got to beat people you wouldn't expect to beat. You have a woman who got a 2.5-year record title reign where they were trying to say that it was better than Goldberg and this, this, and that. So who better for her to get a little bit of momentum when you look in the record books? I'll say one last thing. On Solo Monsters page earlier today, some Matarazz posted like who had the highest wins over the last 3 years in the women's roster, on the main roster, pay-per-view and TV. And everybody on that list was Sasha, Bayley, Charlotte, Becky Lynch. I think Nia might have been fifth. All right. Now, yeah, you could put aside the fact that pretty much every other woman's wrestler there was not, you know, there for the same amount of time as these other girls. But the point is, you go back and you look at somebody's resume and you see that she beat Asuka 1, 2, 3 times. Yeah, because we analyze and we look at it closely, we know that she won by clusterfuck. But at the end of the day, would it really make a big deal if she beat the hick chick that I can't fucking stand? you know what I'm talking about. The one that acts as if we like gay meat.
Sarah Logan.
If she beat Sarah Logan a bunch of times, people would be like, yeah, it's fucking Sarah Logan. So the fact that she's beaten Asuka, that's the only way that WWE could make her look more credible as a champion. And that's why they're doing it. So they're using Asuka to boost up Carmella, not to drop the stock in Asuka.
No, I agree with you. I mean, if you guys remember, my brother will remember, Ricky Morton got pinfall victories over Ric Flair on TBS television, like to build up Ricky from Rock and Roll Express. Like, wow, Ricky Morton could beat Ric Flair?
Well, he never won the belt, though.
No, he never won the belt, but exactly. So that was to build up. I get it, but what's the point then of, like, kind of, you know, jobbing her out really twice in a row with a pinfall? Yeah, it was a clusterfuck, but she's still you don't think that brings down Asuka's stock somewhat in the fans' eyes? In the fans' eyes.
And also, she kind of did a very heelish thing at the end. You know, like she was attacking random people. It was kind of like what a heel would do. So it's very confusing. You know, I definitely think her stock has gone down since Mania. Mm. But like, you know, unlike the company stock, which has gone up since Mania, ironically. Right. But I do think it might have something to do with the fact that they have two other girls there, and they think all Asians are look alike. So that, you know, the other Asian girls are younger and prettier. You know, that new broad is young. Carrie Zane is young.
Well, remember the merchandise stand? They had the Asuka mask, and what was name was under it? Nakamura.
Oh, right.
What about that fucking clothing company? They had Tozawa eating fucking raw clams, and they said, oh, Nakamura is eating clams wearing our shirt.
Yeah, I remember that.
They can't get an Asian person right, even if they fucking tried. It's like, you know, they just grab a name out of the hat. Yeah, well, it was just best.
They called Nakamura tonight the Great Yatsu.
it was very inappropriate of them to call him Jackie Chan that one time too. They don't even look they don't look the same at all.
It's a good thing JPL wasn't there.
good to see Jet Li here tonight. Oh my god.
No, it's just bad. I mean, some of the stuff that did happen tonight, I mean, like I said, you know, you got to lower the bar. I mean, if we're watching this show and it's a limbo, my fucking, my shoulder blades are touching the ground. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting there and, you know, Kevin Owens, that match lasted all of what, 5 minutes, maybe. Yeah. Kevin Owens taking the huge bump. And then, but then you sit there and you say to yourself, you go, at what point do you just start to feel bad for Kevin Owens? You just feel like he's not, like, here's the thing. Kevin Owens is a great heel in the ring, but when he starts to speak and regularly you have him talking and cutting promos and stuff, he is a likable person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is the turning point for him possibly doing the turn where where fans are now going to be a little more sympathetic, because look, we've been saying it on the show for a while now, and it felt even more tonight. Why are we cheering Braun Strowman in this whole storyline? I mean, why is in storyline Kurt Angle not putting him in fucking counseling? He's a bully. And this guy is being brought out on a stretcher where he could possibly have a broken neck, even though, you know, I believe he's fine. And Braun Strowman is like, ha, 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 ha. You know, look, Kevin Owens, you won. You know, it's just like he comes off in this whole storyline as it reminds me of Enzo with Rusev. Remember when Enzo was hitting on Lana?
Yeah, and we were trying to fuck his wife. Yeah,
right, and we was, and Enzo was supposed to be the baby face, but it kind of felt like, you know what? If I was Rusev, I'd beat the fuck out of Enzo. Yeah. And if you follow this storyline a little bit, you know, Braun Strowman is the one that's the real asshole, dick, bully, fucking, you know, it's not even the monster. Yeah, it's just, why am I cheering this guy?
Wow, it's very confusing. It's backwards booking. Same thing with the Asuka situation. Asuka gets screwed over, you know, which is very odd too. So Asuka gets screwed over and Ellsworth interferes, and there was a very, it looked like it fell apart there for a little bit. She beats up random people. Why didn't Paige come out and go, well, wait a minute, that was unfair. Let's restart them. Like, you know, if you knew you're going to do that later on with another GM with Kurt Angle, why was Kurt Angle able to restart, add a stipulation to a championship match, but Paige wasn't allowed to do anything for the women's championship?
Because Paige was blowing lines in the back. I mean, what? no, wait.
Blowing lines?
Well, no. Okay.
What band is Lines in? Is Lines a bass player?
But no, like, you know, just random little small things that I picked up that were just horrendous. Like Michael Cole trying to sell the handcuff on Braun Strowman's arm, where he's how's he ever going to break out of that? It's like, didn't this guy flip an ambulance?
Didn't you notice when the handcuff was tied to the ropes, he was holding the other side of the cuff? Because by doing that, it looked like he was yanking on, pardon my French, yanking on his chain. And, you know, it just, if he wouldn't have held that other side of the cuff, it would have broken almost immediately. What I thought they were going to do is he just yanked the whole fucking door off.
That's what I thought he was going to do, too. That would have been a cool spot, but that he wouldn't have been able to throw him off the cage.
Yeah, but look, a lot, you know, Kevin Owens appears to be okay. A lot of people did see that there was some type of air cushion underneath the desk. I mean, was it just me? I didn't take notice of it. I think I actually made something to eat right after that spot. Did they repair the desk?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because I came back like a few minutes later. I'm like, which desk? You know, which fucking area? You know, the timekeeper's table, which one got destroyed? And they all looked like they were intact. I'm like, okay, now they could actually fix the, you know, like the desks. I don't know.
It was still a very awkward fall, though. He didn't land exactly.
Oh, sure.
Exactly,
it was very dangerous because if you watch it again, there's monitors there. Yeah. There's other equipment. He could have easily hit his head the back of his head on something, and it would have been just absolutely a disaster. But, you know, he looked like he fell snug on his back. And, you know, let's just hope there weren't any complications from it. But the sense that I got coming out of this is the only way I could see them justifying this thing about Braun is maybe Braun is going to say something about Kevin Owens being a tough son of a bitch or something. Maybe Kevin Owens does show up on Raw tomorrow and, you know, that plays off that this guy is tough, even though I think they should keep him off for a week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, but let's get into the pay-per-view results. Let's get into a few things because we got 12 matches. WWE Extreme Rules at the PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Your pre-show hosts were Renee Young, Booker T, David Otunga, and Sam Roberts. You know, they had a few interviews beforehand. They interviewed Finn Balor. I got a kick out of Nakamura, you know, because it's obvious that Nakamura does have limited English. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to just asking him random questions, he don't know what the fuck you're saying, because Booker T was asking him a question and he's stalling and he's got an earpiece. So you know that there's a translator in his ear going, you know, and then he realizes like what Booker says, and to cover it up, you know, me no speak English, me no hear you, me so horny. You know, it's like he doesn't speak English all that well. And that's what it came off as the pre-show. But I guess the biggest news to come out of the pre-show, other than the two matches that took place, is, and I know we'll talk about a little more detail on our respective shows, but they actually announced during the pre-show that Hulk Hogan is reinstated back into the WWE Hall of Fame. And I'm not going to spend much time about it now, but I said something online, I'll stick by it, but I don't know how you can reinstate someone for something that you never publicly suspended in the first place. His contract was terminated in 2015. His profile was removed off of the WWE website, the Hall of Fame section. There is no press release. There is no announcement. There is no comments from anybody in WWE management over the last 3 years that says Hulk Hogan has been removed from the WWE Hall of Fame. So if he was not suspended from the Hall of Fame and not removed from the Hall of Fame, why are they announcing tonight that he is reinstated into the Hall of Fame? You never announced it in the first place that he was taken away. And the answer, I think it is because if they would have done that in 2015, you would have had protest. You would have had not physical protest, but you would have protest online. You'd have fucking, you know, sign my petition. You would have all black people that know Hogan to go forward. How could you do this? This is not right. What about Michael Hayes? What about this person? What about this person? And Joey, you said something earlier during the day that I thought was so spot on when we were chatting about Hogan. And tell everybody what you said earlier.
Well, geez, I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people about this because, frankly, to me, what it comes down to is this is a Hall of Fame full of domestic abusers, drug addicts, alcoholics, child abusers, pedophiles, murderers, and Hulk Hogan made a bad word with his mouth a while ago, and apparently that's comparable.
Do you guys agree that WWE never in 2015 publicly said that they removed him or anything because to avoid the backlash, and it was just an assumed, you know, revocation these 3 years? Why are they issuing press releases for something that they didn't originally publicly do?
Well, I thought I could have sworn I read it in a bunch of different outlets that they removed him from the Hall of Fame.
Nope.
They ghosted him. They didn't, like, you know, make a thing out of it. They just took him out of existence. They just fucking Thanosed him out of there.
They took him off a website. That's all they did.
They took him off a website.
No, but
there were people who
did say it. Didn't Triple H say a couple of times during meetings with people and stuff? Nope. I could have sworn I read it over the years. I don't know if is that true?
I looked online for about 2 hours earlier. I went back into archives. I've checked websites. I checked press
releases. Well, then how did we know he was initially?
Because they pulled his likeness off the Hall of Fame website. Yes. And that's when everyone's like, look, they took his name down.
Yeah,
but I think that's what I'm saying. They ghosted him. The dirt sheets probably led with that story.
Hogan, 5 months after, did an interview and said, I think I've been taken away from the Hall of Fame. But nobody ever, you know, like, publicly said, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Right. Like, why would you issue a press release that someone is reinstated where you never posted a press release in the first place that the person was taken away?
Unless obviously this is some type of storyline.
All I know is I hope they give him a big push this time.
he never got the one he deserved, right?
He's only 64. Well, I don't understand why he's not against Rollins.
He's totally doing it.
Hey, if you could have fucking 10-year-old Nick, why can't you have fucking 68-year-old fucking Hogan or whoever?
Is he 68? I thought he was 64.
Whatever he is.
But he's got to be about that old.
You know, guys, there were a lot of people online, you know, that when Kane got injured early on and, you know, during the pre-show, you know, they didn't think he was coming out with the fucking hospital boot. They thought Hogan was coming out. You go on, back on social media, there's droves. Hogan's going to come out. Hogan's going to come out. Could you imagine the pop? Hogan's going to come out. Even with the fucking hospital boot, Kane would have gotten to the ring quicker.
Right. Oh, well, no, man, this whole Hogan thing is just, to me, like, looking at it, is considering, like, you know, the obviously, like, the Saint Ultimate Warrior, you know, that angel, that precious sweet man. And of course, you know, Jimmy Snuka, Earth Angel, another wonderful human being. You know, like, it's
Warrior
just
didn't kill anybody. Scott Hall murdered somebody.
Scott Hall killed some. Like I said, this is a Hall of Fame full of alcoholics, drug addicts, abusers, fucking murderers,
and Gordon Solie.
And Gordon Solie, a very sweet soul who wrote poetry.
Gordon Solie is the only deceased one who's probably, well, no, actually, I was going to say Owen Hart. He's not in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, but guys, also, let's not forget, all of the people that are in the Hall of Fame, none of them ever let a foul word about another race ever slip from their lips.
Nope.
Never.
No, Dusty, like Bill Dusty, Watts.
Dusty
like,
Rhodes.
Like that great piece, that peacemaker, Bill Watts.
Right. And like, it makes me, once again, like, I just, like, was reading people that are like, well, this needs more time and Hogan and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, does Hogan's rectum have to fall out and land in his Zubaz? Is that what it's going to take? Like, does he have to drop dead? Does he have to catch a good old fashioned heart attack before people, you're forgiven now for using the bad word?
Well, Don Tony and you, Joe and John too, do you guys think still people are, I mean, you guys remember what he was caught on tape saying about the guy who got crippled by his son, that he deserved it. He's not a good guy. Like, do you think that's still kind of, you know, Hogan's kind of a fuckhead. Like, don't you think a lot of
Hogan
people
Hogan is.
That?
He's, look, yeah. Dude, Hogan's a fucking idiot. Okay. Let's clear that. Let's clear the air real quick. Okay.
Yeah.
Hogan's a fucking idiot. Hogan's done a lot of shit that was stupid. He said a lot of shit that's stupid. But what it comes down to is, if they still feel there's value in him, they're going to let that happen. Yeah. Also, if this was a private conversation Hogan had with somebody else when he was drunk and angry and it wasn't to his knowledge, it wasn't like he got on in an interview and sat there and said, hey, you know who I fucking hate? Like, that's true. It wasn't like he stood on a mic. By the way, I must have missed the anti-gay speech that Hulk Hogan gave. Oh, wait, I'm mixing that up with Ultimate Warrior. Oops, my fault. But you just look at it and you go, this is being done because the guy can make money for them. Yeah. That's why he's going to come in. And everybody that sits there and goes, I'm going to cancel the network and Hulk Hogan and blah, blah, blah. These are the same fucking people that if they saw him in an airport, they would chase him down for an autograph and a picture.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
The same fucking people that would do that. So everybody can pretend that they're so angry and they're so furious. And also what drives me nuts too is it's like, the guy, he comes out, well, what's a Hogan apology worth? What's anybody's apology worth? Let me ask you that. What's anybody's apology worth? Is there no such thing as forgiveness? Is there no such thing?
Not for Roseanne.
No, I know. But I'm saying, like, exactly. Can people not live years, apologize, change their mind, look at people and move on?
Of course.
Do we not let that happen anymore? Is it just you made the no-no word with your mouth when you were drunk and now you got to be banished to the woods? You got to die under the porch like an old basset hound? What the fuck is
no,
this?
I mean, I agree with you. I think, you know, there's clearly no coming back from a couple of things. No coming back from child molestation. No coming back from child murder. That's why Benoit, forget it. Rape, no coming back.
And a bad sex tape.
Paris Hilton has never been as big as she was after that tape came out.
Yeah, that first Kim Kardashian sex tape is boring.
Yeah. It's true, but yeah, words. Yeah, I mean, so many people and all of us, like, even with the Me Too stuff and the women and the Jay Lethal and all these accusations, because it makes us realize that, wow, I might have said something stupid or I might have slipped up or I might have pinched a girl's ass at a beach party. Everyone's afraid of getting busted, and I think everyone's with a holier-than-thou attitude of unforgiveness.
Does everybody here remember the whole fappening thing when all the girls' pictures got leaked and everything?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we remember, like, Jennifer Lawrence is doing interviews and she's like, I literally feel like I've been sexually assaulted by the world. What happened to Hulk Hogan? Hulk Hogan had his friend, a finger quote friend, tape him having sex unbeknownst to him. The tape gets sold. It gets put on the internet. And then when he says, hey, could you please not post pictures of my orange 50-year-old ass plowing my friend's wife? And they said, oh, we'll do better and release footage of you saying a racial slur and destroy your life. Well, but no, but that's perfectly fine. Well, that's perfectly fine.
As far as the Hall of Fame, you got to leave the rape part out of it because they got Mike Tyson in. He was put in 2012, he's convicted. So, all right. Well, two pre-show matches tonight: Sin Cara losing to Andre Cien Almas. I think they have to get rid of the Andre name. Too many words, I think, in his name.
I agree with you.
Yeah, they just got to call him Cien Almas. It just is a lot smoother that way. And they will drop Andre, in my opinion. Sanity defeating New Day. You know, actually, I'm not going to lie. That's probably one of the top matches of the whole pay-per-view, even though it was pre-show.
I like Sanity, man.
It was good. There was an excellent spot where Kofi Kingston did a double stomp from the top rope. Alexander Wolfe and Eric Young were on the shoulders of Big E and Xavier Woods. That was a really cool spot.
Yeah.
There was a dopey spot outside the ring where I think it was Alexander Wolfe, stacked two tables on each other. But, you know, when you think you stack two tables high, you think of Public Enemy or ECW stuff. He stacked the other table upside down. So basically what you ended up having was a table that was 1 inch thicker. That's really what it looked like, even though they didn't use those two tables. But anything from those two matches that really stuck out to you guys, other than, you know, the spot that you just mentioned?
I'm gonna be honest. I missed those matches, but I will say I'm surprised Sanity won, because I thought the lukewarm responses they were getting coming out, which have been no responses, I would have picked New Day to go over on Sanity. But I'm happy that they won.
What are you talking about? Carmella's the women's champion.
She gets no reaction. I like Sanity. I'm a fan of the Purge movie. I always liked the gimmick, and I like the way Eric Young kind of leads his faction. Eric's got great work ethic in the ring. I used to make fun of him in Impact, but I like him since he came to NXT. Wolf is a great prospect, and Killian Dane. I mean, you guys know I was big on him, and you were saying he was basically.
Yeah, I'm a big Killian Dane fan.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of writing him off as another Albert a couple of years ago, but he's really shown a lot. I just think it's a good faction. It's cool. You know, they don't emphasize it's a takeoff on the Purge too much. That's a pretty popular franchise. It's not a bad gimmick. I don't think it's anything like the Wyatt family. It's kind of a different gimmick, but I don't know what they're going to do as far as when they break him away. I think clearly Killian Dane is the breakout star. I think Eric Young's tail end of his career. He's in a mentoring role. Wolf is good, but I don't see him as a solo star. But I think Killian Dane can be something.
Wolf is obviously the Eric Rowan of the group.
Yes, that's a good idea. But yeah, Killian Dane. Could you think Killian Dane could be like, not exactly like a Braun, but could he be up there in the top notch?
Well, he could eventually become a Rusev.
That's a good idea. That's a good comparison.
Which is a guy that you look at and you go, oh, I can take him seriously, and then over time he'll become a silly man. And that's more than, but that's years down the line.
Yeah.
But
isn't he very young?
Yeah, he's young. He's young.
Yeah. I like him too. To be honest with you, I like him the best out of the three. I think the Wolf guy, he has a look to him like he's a fucking whack job, which I like, because he looks different than everybody else. And like you said, Eric Young's kind of on his way out. It's really hard for me to take Eric Young seriously.
He's like a Kevin Sullivan, a modern day Kevin Sullivan. Games master type.
I mean, I remember watching this guy act like Canadian Eugene for 5 years. I can't.
He's versatile. Yeah, you got to admit, he's versatile, and he kept himself in great shape. He's got to be at least in his mid-40s. But, I mean, he's a good hand, you know, and if he's going to be a mentor to these younger guys. And like I said, it's kind of a cool gimmick. I like the whole Sanity thing. I think I'd like to see Nikki Cross in that faction. I don't think you can see it, though.
She'll get there. I think she will.
Okay. Opening pay-per-view match today. They took us all by surprise. B-Team winning the tag titles off of Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. And just a little tidbit. About an hour into the pay-per-view, Matt Hardy posted a tweet. And look, a lot of these wrestlers in WWE on Twitter, they're just, you know, going into playing into storyline. But he actually wrote, it might be time for us to, I think, go our separate ways, or us to, you know, separate. Something like that. Which I thought was a little odd, because, you know, you lose a match, you lose your tag title, and then all of a sudden, oh, it's time to split up. I think that they're an excellent tag team together, unless there's something else going on or a different direction WWE wants to go. I don't understand why you would split these two guys up.
Well, here's the thing, though, DT. Matt and Jeff don't want to be there that much.
Right.
They don't want to work the schedule. They're not into it. Jeff Hardy wants to be at home with this kid. He has a lot of injuries. They've mounted up. Look at him. He gets in trouble for having a DUI and shit. And it's like he still has his issues, you know, falling off and on the wagon. And it certainly doesn't help when you put somebody on the road, get them away from their support system, put them in a position where they're hurting their body every single week. You know, not even every week, almost every single night. Yeah. So frankly, they don't want to be there. Mm-hmm. Both of those guys enjoyed working on the independents on many levels.
And they're not spring chickens anymore. They're both in their 40s now. They're not kids anymore.
You know? Right. And these weren't guys. They weren't working SD Jones clap and stomp babyface matches. They were beating the shit out of themselves for 20 years. They don't want to be wrestling every single night. And I don't blame them. Mm-hmm. You know, so more than likely that's what's going to happen. The B team winning, what bothered me the most about that is, and somebody saying in the chat room, I'm saying that it was rushed. Maybe it was the storyline in general was rushed, but the B team in general, I look at them as these guys are supposed to be lovable losers, and that needs to be built for a little bit more than like 2 months. I want to see these guys lose for a long, long time because Bo Dallas can talk. I think Axel is atrocious, but he's passable enough to be able to pair him off with Bo. So it needed a lot more time. Them having the belts now, how long can this last? 2 weeks?
Well, that's just until Authors of Pain come out and they give them – that's why they've been off television. Yeah. So that's literally what that's about. They're going to throw them around like dolls, and that'll be that. You know, I'll say this, though. I wasn't surprised as much as they won. I was surprised with that it lasted 2 minutes and 35 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of remind me of Heat Slater and Rhino.
Yeah.
You know, like a team that, you know, I'm happy for them. I really am. I mean, they've been, you know, I don't want to say misused, but they really haven't been utilized to the potential that they could have been. So it's nice to see this, but you kind of feel like they're just keeping the belts warm for someone else.
Well, if you guys remember, Bo Dallas was a big-time prospect in Florida Championship Wrestling. DT, you remember that? They were poisoning him as the next big thing. No, but, you know, his brother, you know, was Husky Harris, was dismissed and actually released at one point, came back. But he was supposed to be the big deal, and I guess that was 10 years ago at this point, DT, when he was in Florida Championship
Wrestling. God, is it that long ago?
Something like that. And Joe Henning. Jesus. Joe Henning, by the way, is almost 40. Did you guys know that?
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Kurt had him very young out of college with his wife, because he's been with his wife since high school. Mm-hmm. So they had him very young. So Joe is like really up there in age. So, I mean, this is his last chance. And I never thought he was going to be a doppelganger of his father. But if you remember, I mean, he actually claimed to fame, had Paul Heyman as his manager at one point. So they were going to do something with Curtis Axel, but it just didn't work out. So I think this is the best. This is as good as it's going to get for Curtis Axel. Maybe Rotundo, Bo Dallas can go on to do something else after this. But I agree. It's going to be a short title reign. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. The next part on the pay-per-view, and this was something that I kind of tried to clear up online because there was already news reports going out that were just wrong. Kurt Angle did a little interview segment, and what the reports were going around was that Brock Lesnar either has to show up on Raw tomorrow and accept the challenge, or he was going to be stripped of the title. That actually is not the case. What the storyline was... If you listen to it closely, is Kurt Angle was saying that Brock Lesnar has a choice. He could either show up on Raw tomorrow, or he could come to terms on his next title defense, or he's stripped. So basically, he doesn't have to show up on Raw tomorrow, but as long as he finalizes his next title defense, he won't be stripped of the title. So he could very well show up on Raw tomorrow anyway. But, you know, if people didn't see the pay-per-view, Michael Cole, about 5 minutes later, you know, repeated almost word for word what Kurt Angle said to try to, like, be a little bit more clearer. And he was saying, you know, if Brock Lesnar doesn't show up on Raw tomorrow and he doesn't come to terms on his next title defense, then he's stripped. So they're trying to tease that to try to, I think, pop a little bit more of a rating.
I mean this in the least, like, I'm not being sarcastic at all, but which belt means more, do you think, at this point? That Universal title or the 205 Live title?
205 Live.
Probably the 205 Live title. At least they see it.
I still made this little comment last week, and I think I'm actually going to stick to it for a little while. I'm wondering if WWE ultimately is going to phase out the Universal title.
They probably should. It doesn't fucking mean anything.
Well, this might have been a test for that, if you think about it. This might have been the testing ground. I mean, like, they ended up closing a major pay-per-view with their number one babyface on that brand, going for the secondary title, and no one seemed to give a shit that the belt wasn't there. So.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Next match on the card, Finn Balor over Constable Corbin, Convertible Corbin, as I like to call him also.
Yeah, beep, special beep. Needs Batista, I think, should be his.
Yep. Finn wins with a roll up.
This was actually, I'm not going to lie. This was a fairly decent showing for the Constable. I'm not going to say that he had a bad match here. I thought the match was okay, but I mean, I'm just glad that it ended appropriately. I feel as though, WWE on some level is finally putting together that this guy is not all that in a bag of chips. Yeah. Like I said, they've gotten to the point where when they start taking shit away from you, that's when you know it's over. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like when they're like, okay, oh, you had a big fancy entrance. The entrance is gone. Oh, you had this that you were wearing as your ring gear. Now that's gone. Oh, you had your hair. That's gone. You had this. It's gone.
Well, Alberto Del Rio was a good example of that, guys. If you remember.
Right. 100%. Mm-hmm. Where it was, he had everything. And here was this guy that went from having, you know, everything short of Jesus Christ himself walk down hand in hand to the ring with them to like somebody playing a kazoo over a fucking megaphone. Gosh, you know, that should
soon he'll have no ring entrance. He'll just have to walk, just climb over. Yeah, just come out.
We're back from commercial break, and Corbin's in the ring already.
There seems to be a special needs Batista in the ring. Right now.
They'll take away his lone wolf thing, and they'll start having him socialize with the Riot Squad. They'll be hanging out with the Riot Squad.
I can't wait till he becomes the social coyote.
Yeah, he's no longer a lone wolf. They're forcing him to socialize with people. Then he's left with nothing. Then he's just left with the car.
By the way, that was mercifully a 3-minute match too.
He's 6'8".
Yeah, he's a huge guy.
Yeah.
I think once again, short match, which was good.
Yeah, I think he did fine. You know, don't leave him out there too long. And when he keeps it very tight and very to the point, I think he does decent.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, I know it. You know, for a lot of people, they expect me to go in on Corbin nonstop. But yeah. the match was fine. I mean, like I said, the way that they dress him, it's like anytime that a guy goes out there in ring gear that doesn't look like he's ready to perform athletically in any way, shape, or form, that should be a sign to you about on some level what they think about you.
If you guys remember, and he was a pretty good worker, Jerry Tutte, they did that to the wall in WCW. He's wrestling in pants and a shirt. All the time, you know, and when they took him out of it, it wasn't the same anymore, by the way. I know for some reason it worked for the wall. And I know he was another guy. I forgot he passed away, actually. But that's what it reminds me of when I see Corbin. I think of the wall.
I was working with XPW right at the very end of his life for the most part. And he was doing stuff.
Him, right?
Yeah, I met him a lot. One of the most quiet people I ever met in wrestling. I can't tell you how many times he would just like sit by himself with a Walkman on and just not talk to anybody. Very, very quiet, very, very to himself. And if you remember when he was doing the gimmick he was doing in XPW is called Snuff.
Yeah, Snuff. How big was he, DT?
He was big guy.
Yeah.
He was a big guy.
You're like 6'2", right?
I'm 6'2".
So he's like what, 6'6", 6'7"?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen him in 16 years, but I would
say
he's
a big guy.
Yeah, I would say
the
six.
Wall's dead, guys.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't he dead?
Yeah,
he committed suicide. So how big is he? He's dead.
Well, I don't think he committed suicide. Drug overdose.
No, but DT worked with him in the early 2000s.
Yeah, he was.
I'm fairly certain the dude's dead, though, right? I'm not making.
Yeah,
it
he's dead. Yeah. He was like 6'6" to 6'8". He was a big guy, definitely intimidating guy, but very, very quiet. So, next match, Asuka losing to Carmella, James Ellsworth in the Shark Cage. We actually had on the Patreon, shout out to our patrons, on the pay-per-view predictions contest, one of the bonus questions is, will James Ellsworth escape the Shark Cage? Right. And, you know, storyline stupidity, you know, the minute he started, just think about this. You know, just think about the segments that Paige had with Ellsworth, putting him in the Shark Tank. A Shark Cage. The minute this guy in storyline starts passing Carmella weapons, why isn't she out there, like in storyline, doing a stipulation that if you know what I mean? Like, why didn't she interrupt that? And not only that, the first chain that Ellsworth threw down to Carmella. When the referee saw it, if I remember correctly, he didn't even boot it out of the ring. He just put it in the corner. And Carmella tried to use it. But anyway, for those that didn't see the match, basically this was a very, very quick match.
Yeah.
How it ended was they tried to play off that Ellsworth, I think, picked the lock. And he tried to climb out of the shark cage. Now, the shark cage was much lower than when Jericho was in the shark cage recently. So you kind of felt like this guy was going to escape it and get out of it. He tried to get out of the cage. Somehow hit the bottom of his pants got caught because he was wearing some additional ruffled shit that just didn't seem like it belonged. And while he's upside down, Asuka is kicking him, hitting him. People are hitting the ring, trying to free Ellsworth from the cage. Asuka beats them up a little bit. The cage is lowered all the way into the ring. Finally, they get James Ellsworth free. The cage is still in the ring. Carmella, quote-unquote, bangs Asuka's head into the side of the cage. She's unconscious. Carmella gets the pin. And the ref counted.
Yeah.
Which, to me, I just thought was stupid as well. I mean, maybe this was an Extreme Rules match. I don't recall it being an Extreme Rules match.
Yeah, I don't know. This was just the low point. This was probably my low point of the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't see any point to doing this. It's weird. It's almost like they're so willing to spend so much time to make something only to completely shit in its mouth. But then conversely, they'll have things that are just dismal failures and they'll just keep on doing them forever and ever and ever. The Asuka thing was by no means dead. There was nobody was sitting there going, oh, Asuka sucks. Asuka's the shits. She's so bad. Blah, 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 blah. But they had her, you know, lose to Charlotte, which, by the way, I still stand by what I said, where that felt like a retirement match.
Yeah.
Where Asuka stands there. Oh, you were ready for me. I'm like, okay, so is Asuka leaving now? I don't get it. But so they spend all this time to kill something off that was working. And then they'll get things that are just garbage and keep going with it seemingly forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, Carmella's absolutely terrible. I don't care. I mean, there's nothing redeemable about her. And by the way, it only gets worse too when people sit there and they go, oh man, she's so attractive. Now that she's had so many plastic surgeries on her face, it looks like a stretched out oval. Like it looks like somebody took her face on Photoshop and
she looks like a human Photoshop.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not a good look. And I'm sure she's very nice and I'm sure she's a great girl and all, but being nice and being a great person doesn't mean you get a position in a company that's supposed to be about entertaining people and putting on good shows and matches. And she just ain't producing.
And guys, honestly, we all like James Ellsworth, but quite honestly, I'm already ready to see him go again. I'm not feeling this last couple of weeks. Even on TV, it was a match with Asuka. He's just not getting over. He's not getting heat. He's not getting anything. I think people are just, you know, indifferent to him at this point.
Yeah, because we saw this already. And you stopped doing it, and then you're bringing it back.
Right.
And I was like, it was interesting the first time.
Carmella has nothing. And when we started off the show, I said Carmella, the character, she's got to look in the mirror and think about Carmella, the character. This is nothing personal against her at all. It's just there's nothing redeemable about her, you know, as being champion. You can't use the Miss Opportunist like Edge type of thing because she doesn't give us entertaining match. Remember, this is women's evolution, women's revolution, pay-per-view in October. You know, she is one of two champions of the women's evolution. And this is the best representative for the women's evolution. You know, she and her and Alexa Bliss kind of mirror each other quite a bit. I'm not saying that Mickie James is the James Ellsworth, but Alexa Bliss, I mean, she's not too far off either. I mean, she's throwing that chair into Nia before. And look, Alexa Bliss is a strong little cookie. I'm not saying that, but she's fucking hitting Nia Jax. I think Hulk Hogan used to give harder chair shots to people.
Yeah, it was very weak. We can get into that. But I mean, it was, you know, one thing I'll say, you know, because they were saying, well, you know, Trish wasn't very good when she first had the title, but Trish got respect because she got better. I mean, you guys, I'm sure either like Trish or don't like her, but Trish got better. And that's why Ross used to point it out. She's in the weekend. She's in the training center trying to better herself, better her craft. Carmella's never reported to be doing stuff like that. I don't know if Carmella's trying to make herself better. You know, she screams a lot more. She does little kitchen, you know, she does little wacky interviews. But I don't think, and I'm surprised they're not pushing her to be better as a wrestler. Why is that?
Because they don't care. I mean, honestly, they just don't care. You could just be passable. You know, you ever work an office job and somebody at the job's been there for a really long time and they're not good and you can't figure out why they're still there? That's like half the women's division.
You're spot on. Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
That's like half the women's division.
You're spot on. Because if you think of ability, there's about 12 other women that wrestle better, that are more talented than Carmella, that actually would be a better champion in her. But they settle on her because they like her being this snake in the grass. You know, Mella is money. She can moonwalk. She wears like hip hop stuff and all that. But, you know, it just, I don't know. It's just, it's,
she's,
it's
probably very easy. She probably just does what she's told. She's a puppet. They love puppets. It's like, yeah, what do you want me to do? Okay, that's cool. Yeah. Oh, great. I love it. Yeah. Awesome. Great idea. She's probably a team player, and they like that.
Yeah, you know, they like blonde heel champions. That's what
they love blondes that get plastic surgery. That's fucking like that's their MO. Like, are you a blonde? Can we cut you up and put fucking plastic surgery all over you?
The blondes have always been a big thing back. You know, Sonny, Sable, Trish. Yeah. They love blondes.
It's the yacht of blonde girls.
Mm-hmm. Next match lasted a total of 6 seconds. Nakamura wins the U.S. title. What happened was before the bell rang, Nakamura hit Hardy with a nut shot. Bell rang. He hit the Kinshasa and then got the pin 1-2-3. After the match was over, again, 6-second match, no exaggeration. Randy Orton's music hits. He hits the ring. Jeff Hardy is still writhing in pain. Nakamura is standing outside the ring. He's a little bit, you know, staring at Orton. Orton turns around and gives a nice swift kick to Jeff Hardy in the nuts. So Jeff Hardy had 2 nut shots. In excruciating pain. And they announced later on in the night that Jeff Hardy's going to get his rematch on SmackDown. And people are wondering why Randy Orton hit Jeff Hardy. In my opinion, I think this is going to set up possibly a 3-way at SummerSlam. And Randy Orton hitting Jeff Hardy is just the, you know, easy way of just throwing him into the match as well. But, you know, Nakamura finally has a title.
Yeah, he said he needs one.
It's just, you look at Nakamura's career in the WWE for the last 4 or 5 months, you look at all the losses, and the victory today was 6 seconds, and he's a champion.
Yeah, and it's, by the way, is that a heel turn for Orton? No, don't read anything into that.
It's Orton.
It's a snake.
Yeah, it's just being Orton.
Snakes are not heels or baby faces.
He's a snake man.
He's an apex predator.
We haven't seen him in like 4 months, and this is what they sent him.
I seen him on Instagram on a lot of vacations with his wife and kids.
He had knee surgery.
No, I know that, but I'm saying he was living it up.
Well, I mean, like, what? So now we're gonna get Orton versus Hardy, like in 2018.
It's gonna be Orton versus Nakamura. Which, by the way, let's be real. Nakamura has phoned it in fucking royally, with the exception of about 4 matches since he's been on the main roster. Yeah. He's had maybe 4 good matches.
Well, they kind of neutered his style.
But he's
blame
not
him a little bit too. I agree with Joe. You got to blame him a little bit too.
He's not doing shit, dude. You can tell he's not even trying half the time.
Didn't Orton and Nakamura team up like over a year ago? Yes. And then Orton gave the RKO to Nakamura out of nowhere, and then that led to them having a match?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If you can't have a good AJ Styles Nakamura feud, Jesus. Boy, oh boy, Randy Orton, the bringer of nothing. Just wait for him to have a feud with Nakamura. Well, that is going to fucking blow.
He's a great worker, but he's boring as shit. He's a good worker.
Who is the big guy who is the most over in Saudi Arabia?
Randy.
Randy Orton.
They were going batshit crazy.
I didn't watch.
Because Randy's a star. I mean, like, let's be honest. Randy is. Randy's a throwback to when the company was kind of, had better people in it and bigger names, and people paid money to see people.
The prince in Saudi Arabia wanted the Ultimate Warrior, too. No joke.
Oh, he thought Randy was the Ultimate Warrior.
He actually asked for 2 people who were dead. So
Yokozuna.
Yokozuna.
DT, but every week I watch Raw and want 10 people who are dead. I'm trying to see if they can bring Bruiser Brody and Terry Gordy back.
By the way, I think the anniversary of Bruiser Brody's death is next day or two.
It is. Yeah, it is. Unbelievable. It is. 30 years ago.
Yep. Unbelievable. Wow. Next match on the card tonight, Kevin Owens versus Braun Strowman, cage match. I know we already talked a lot about it, but, you know, the match lasted about 5 minutes, like you said, maybe 7 minutes. And there was one point where Kevin Owens handcuffed Braun Strowman to one of the ropes. It was right near the door. And as we said earlier, a lot of us thought that Braun Strowman was just going to rip the door off and then walk out, and somehow he wins with that. But instead, which was funny for a split second, Kevin Owens goes to the other side of the ring. He tells Braun Strowman to suck it. He does the DX chop. He blows him a kiss. And then all of a sudden, Braun Strowman just yanks the chain, breaks the fucking handcuff. He, like, real, I give him credit. He fucking climbed the top of that cage like a fucking cruiserweight. Kevin Owens and Braun Strowman are standing on top of the cage, about 15 feet high. I wouldn't, it's not Hell in a Cell height, but still very, very high up there. And they tease that Braun Strowman is going to give Kevin Owens a chokeslam. I didn't think they were going to do it, especially, like I said, the fact that, you know, the tables down below didn't have the monitors move. They right. didn't clear it out beforehand. But they did the spot. Kevin Owens launched off, and that's how Kevin Owens won, because his feet hit the floor first. He actually won the match, and he was carried out on a stretcher. And again, Braun Strowman, I don't know why he's, other than the fact that we like Braun Strowman, the character, and, you know, he's technically a babyface, this whole storyline makes no sense to me. Even Lashley, when they said the two biggest egos in the WWE, they just had this fucking guy smiling, fucking talking about his sisters to Renee Young and his family. He has not shown any type of cockiness whatsoever since being back, and he's got the second biggest ego, which we'll get into in a moment.
Well, because they have to, but here's the thing, DT. They can't make it out to be, well, Roman Reigns has been an antagonistic, annoying fucking gnat, and Bobby Lashley has actually just made valid points, even though he's done it in a very monotone way.
Yeah. Well, we'll get
to that. They can't just tell the truth.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that match momentarily, because I know we all have our, you know, special feelings towards Roman Reigns. But anyway, any other comments you want to add regarding the Strowman-Kevin Owens match?
I hope that Kevin Owens, I mean, back in the old days, Kevin Owens would get a standing ovation when he comes out tomorrow night.
Can I ask you a question?
If he comes out, but I doubt it.
Can I ask you a question? I don't mean to interrupt you, but okay. Vader died recently, and right. Mick Foley recently was commenting about Vader, and he talked about something he had said in his book also, that when he was in WCW, this is a guy, you know, yes, he did crazy bumps, and people thought that he loved pain and everything, but he was a heel. And they wanted him to become the sympathetic babyface, and Mick Foley felt that the one person who can get him over as a sympathetic babyface was Vader beating the fuck out of him. Yeah. Is it possible that, I'm not saying they're doing it on the level of Mick Foley, but is it possible that they feel that Braun Strowman, the way he's treated Kevin Owens the last couple of weeks, that he is the only guy that could get Kevin Owens over as the sympathetic babyface, and him launching off of the cage is the equivalent of what Vader did to Mick Foley?
I guess you can make a comparison.
It could be that, but now people are so, and I'll tell you who killed the cage bump. I'll give you one guess. Who do you think it is that, in my opinion, has completely killed the cage bump for any of these workers?
Shane McMahon.
Baron Corbin?
Shane McMahon. Yeah. Yeah. Killed it dead. So Kevin Owens can do a backflip off a fucking cage, and what does it matter, dude? The 50-year-old guy with the white hair with
the Peter Baron Griffin Corbin. Voice. I just heard that.
No.
No, that was good. I was like, wait, Baron Corbin fell off a cage. Where was that orgasmic that moment?
I was going to say, that only happened in all of our
dreams. No, I know. I thought it was funny.
In all of our dreams. Yeah. No, but he killed it. Shane killed it. So now it's like, oh, Owens went off a cage. It's like, oh, man, that's crazy. Like, it's not even like, oh, this is career-defining type shit. It's like, Shane does it, and then he leaves the next day and goes golfing and disappears for 3 months. Like, what doesn't...
My younger son had karate, so I had to take him to his karate class the next day.
Still sounds like Peter Griffin.
Yeah, that sounds like fucking Peter Griffin. He was raised in Connecticut. I don't know where he gets that from. You know, I think there's something weird off about the Braun thing, because the crowd seemed a little bit like they love the spot, but then they also were like a little bit like, is Braun a bad guy now? Like, you know, it was a little confusing. And this is, I think, where the night turned. I feel like the crowd, the energy of the crowd was done after that spot. And everything that happened after that wasn't as entertaining to them.
Mm. Well, here's the thing. What did Kevin Owens do to Braun to deserve this for so, like, to continue on?
Whole story makes no sense.
Am I forgetting something? Was there a part where he, like, fucked him out of a title match? Did he fuck him out of the briefcase? Oh, wait, he has the briefcase. So what is he so mad about?
Yeah, that's something too. Like, he has a guaranteed title shot. Like, how is this elevating Braun? Like, it's just like, we already know. We've seen him throw cars. I mean, like, you know.
I'm not calling Kevin Owens a nerd, but for the last month or so, it felt like a football player in high school that says, let me beat up that nerd. Let me go let me go beat him up in the showers. Let me go tear apart his bike. Let me go, you know, give him a wedgie. Let me it's just like, well, why is this happening in the first place?
Could be a double turn.
Well, no, well, I don't think Braun is going to turn. But, like, I just, like, when they say, oh, okay, he's still mad at him about the ladder match, was choke slamming him off the top of a ladder through fucking two tables, that wasn't enough?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Flipping his car, not enough?
Joey, did you catch, like, when the announcers were like, we got to get Braun out of here? They only say that about a heel. Like, somebody get him out of here. And they were like, yeah, he's got to, you know, we got to get him removed.
And someone with testicles.
They only say that about a heel. They don't say that about a face.
And someone with testicles. Because, you know, if it was a woman, they go into counseling.
Right. That's how
it
works.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they'll both go into counseling now. Maybe this was a big setup for them.
Here's the thing. In the WWE, they treat men and women the same. If you're a guy and you destroy a man's car, beat the shit out of him and cover him in feces, you get a cage match. If you're a girl and someone picks on you for a year and drives you to the point where you lose your mind and beat the shit out of them, you got to go to silly counseling time with Wacky Fun Man. Mm-hmm. But they're even. The men and the women are even in the company.
Yeah. Well, you want to know something? You know, every week, you know, we're taking notice of the ratings because they are, you know, record lows. I mean, there's no other way to put it. But, you know, one thing that nobody ever talks about, and I invite anyone out there to do it. When you see the ratings breakdown, when people try to tell you that, you know, even though the ratings are pathetic lately, they're number 2, 3, and 6 for the night. Pay attention to the female demographic and the women and the male demographic as far as ratings go. The male 18 to 49, from what I recall, I don't have the ratings in front of me, are double the female. So as much as they want to sell us up and down the board that, you know, the females are equal as the males when it comes to the ratings still, other than I think children. I think adults 18 to 34 and 18 to 49, males are double the rating of females, at least.
It's always been that way.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. This is smoke and mirrors. It's pretty much smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, it is.
So next match, Hell No, losing to the Bludgeon Brothers. God. I mean, we've talked about it before. Kane is going to have his election in about 3 weeks, and he is almost pretty much a lock to win it.
I'm not voting for him now based on tonight.
Well, before the pay-per-view officially started, they were attacked in the back from the Bludgeon Brothers. They tried to play off that Kane was too injured to compete. Daniel Bryan came out there alone, put up the good fight. Halfway through the match, Kane came out with a big walking boot. And ultimately, Hell No would lose the match. And Bludgeon Brothers retain. I don't know. Well, the match was not eventful at all. I mean, the fans.
I thought it was fine. Here's the thing. It was one of the only matches on the whole show that actually told some sort of story.
It did. I mean, it wasn't a bad match. It just nothing stood out from it. And, you know, the reports are going around now that Daniel Bryan either signed a new deal or he's about to sign a new deal. So it wasn't that they jobbed him out because he's leaving. That looks like is not going to be the case. But, you know, the match told a wonderful story. I'm not taking that away, and it wasn't a bad match. It did not feel like a pay-per-view match. If you think about how the Bludgeon Brothers beat the fuck out of Daniel Bryan, which is why they reunited Hell No, you know, it was just didn't feel like it had that same type of heat to it. I didn't feel heat during the whole match at all.
Well, no, dude. I mean, like when people could say, oh, he got jobbed out, it's like you can't really call jobbed out getting jumped by 2 7-foot-tall guys in the back,
right,
then fighting both of them single-handedly for over 10 minutes, then eventually succumbing to them after about, what, a 15-minute-long match? Mm-hmm. Like, this wasn't exactly like he got went out there and got, like, one fucking choke slam from some bum, and that's it. Like, he put up a hell of a fight. It was a good match. It told a nice little story. It wasn't amazing. This is nothing that I would never tell anybody. You got to go back and watch this urgently. But compared to I'm going to hit you in the cock or throw you off the top of a fucking cage, as far as like the extent of storytelling in this on this show, this is about as good as it got.
Right.
It's true. I think he got chopped out.
Well, my big question is, what happens now? Like, so what do we do now? Is it just done? Like, are they going to revisit this on Tuesday? Like, you know, is he going to have singles matches? What happened?
Who knows? I mean, hell no. I think this was just, you know, it is, even though it felt good reunited, you know, and it feels so good, it still was a little confusing why they did reunite. And then if you looked at, I mean, I was watching the Red Sox baseball game Friday. And during the game, they actually, you know, the announcers were talking about Extreme Rules, and what was the banner that they showed? Kane and Daniel Bryan. Kane and Daniel Bryan was the most used banner on commercials and outside television for the last week. So this was like a big nostalgia thing that WWE wanted to sell as far as advertising goes. And now since they blew their load with this pay-per-view, I think, hell no, you know, maybe Kane stays around a little longer, but he ain't going to fuck up his election just to have another extra 1 or 2 weeks here.
I didn't think this was that over. I don't know. Every podcaster under the sun was complaining about Team Hell No. So it's like, I never thought the team was that big. I don't remember him being that popular. I know the catchphrase was
nostalgia. It's nostalgia.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I know. I just think, and also Kane has that stigma of, you know, people desperately want to chant, please retire, but they're being nice.
To Tony Bad Eyes in the chat, 2012 is nostalgia. Yeah, when you actually, you go back and you watch some other moments in WWE history when someone leaves, even when fucking Hogan left as Mr. America, and then he came back and then Shawn Michaels turned on him, that was only a 2-year period. So, yeah, nostalgic does feel like nostalgia after only a couple of years.
Yeah.
And 2012 is 6 years ago, so that is a long time.
In wrestling, that's
is. Yeah.
But with all the hours of wrestling we get now, that's like 30 years.
Sure.
Think of how many ratings points have gone down in those 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the people who got pets during that time and died. It's a long time. I mean,
I personally have been married 3 times since that time.
Well, do you know, by the way, I also love this too. When I'm sure you guys have seen this now, where they're talking about, oh, well, look at what WWE's ratings were in 1999, and now look at what they were in 2017 or 2018, and then they put the money next to it.
Look
how much money they make here. Do yourself a favor. Adjust that money in 1999 inflation. And it's a couple, and maybe it's a couple hundred, you know, less, but you look at a couple hundred million less, but you look at it and you go, oh, okay, what did they have to do to get that 100 million?
Yep.
How much more money did they have to spend?
Yep.
They had to create their own fucking network.
Yep.
In 1999, they didn't have a website where they could sell 4,000 t-shirts at any given point.
Didn't have movies. You know,
they didn't have movies. They didn't have all of the shit going on. Right.
They didn't have seats in the arena.
They had competition. They had other companies competing.
General admission.
We had to sit on Bays of Hell. Oh, my God. Hell's. Oh, my God. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
What I always challenge those people online that put posts like that, Joey, you know what I tell them? Show me the amount of profit that they made in 99 compared to the amount of profit they make now. Because if anybody out there wants to be entertained, I'm not going to give you the number. Do a little research and see how much profit WWE made last year, the year before. It's not as much as you think they made.
Right. If I work at Five Guys, all right, Five Guys Burgers and Fries, and I buy $80 worth of meat and I sell it and I make $100, is that better than me working at McDonald's and buying $10 worth of meat and making $75?
If I sell $1 million worth of insurance in my business, but I pay $1 million for it, at the end of the day, I made nothing. Right. That's really what it is. I mean, the whole idea, the whole idea is that you want to make a profit. So, yeah, you know, they made $500 million, but how much profit did they make? There are years from back then where they made more profit than they made in recent years.
Right.
Yeah. And Anthony in the chat is actually accurate, the number you put up. Next match on the card, Lashley versus Roman Reigns. Lashley gets the win. You know, the match was good. It wasn't, to me, it didn't stand out. Fans weren't as brutal towards it as they've done in the past with Roman Reigns. There were some chants. Fans, you know, I think are just indifferent a lot in these matches. Right. I'll say it again. It's nothing personal against Roman Reigns, but he is the guy right now that I honestly changed the channel. I don't care he's Samoan. I don't care if his dick is 15 inches. I don't care if he's got eight wives and lives in fucking a state that allows it. I don't care if every girl masturbates to him. I don't care if he's the greatest role model. I don't care if I found out that he's my father. I just, in a DNA test, I just don't like him as far as a character on my television and wrestling.
So you didn't see the match?
I saw the match, but I'm just saying, like, I just don't give a shit about the guy. And it's funny because hardcore Roman Reigns fans always try to sell us why he's one of the biggest stars, and arguably he is. I mean, I've always said to everyone, he's not being de-pushed. It's smoke and mirrors. His place is secure. But the thing is that just because you're a big fan of his, you know, don't say, because I see a lot of post people writing is, look at all these haters of Roman Reigns. Look at all these fucking assholes. You know, you just won't even give the guy a chance. Motherfucker, how's about you respect the fact that people don't like him? You want us to respect the fact that you like him, but yet you don't want to show respect for the people that don't like him.
So,
you
know, dude.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dude, give him a chance. He's only been on TV for a half a dozen years. Give him a chance.
But what I'm
He's saying, only had four WrestleMania main events in a row. Give him a chance.
All I'm saying is that people, you know, call haters of Roman Reigns marks and all this other stuff.
I thought you called the people who liked Roman Reigns marks.
No. What I'm saying is that you people who aren't a fan of his, you know, like the people who are fans of his, they're like, wow, these people don't give him a chance. They just hate him because they hate him. You know, wrestlers have said that too. Oh, people just chant stuff against him because it's the cool thing to do.
They're protecting him. Like Jericho is very protective of Roman Reigns. I noticed that. But listen, I like Roman Reigns, but he'll never even make my top 50. I mean, Gina Hernandez I like better than Roman Reigns. That's a shoot. Yes. But I will say this. I don't like Bobby Lashley any better, and I'm not jumping on his train. I've got no pleasure in Bobby Lashley getting the pin. I didn't think it was fun. He sucks. I don't think the fans talk about indifferent. DT, he got no reaction when he came out, Bobby Lashley.
I felt bad for him because when he splashed Roman Reigns in the corner, he picked his finger up like one more time, and you didn't hear the fans chant one more time. Roman Reigns did the 10 count of hitting Lashley in the corner, and usually it doesn't even matter who's in the ring, usually get all the fans that'll go 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 9, 10. They didn't even do that. So I just think, you know, the match.
Guys, here's the thing. I'm sorry, DT. Roman Reigns loses a lot of his matches, though. So what is that all about?
Smoke and mirrors. WWE thinks that they're appeasing the fans that don't like Roman Reigns. That they also think that fans that don't like Roman Reigns will ultimately say, you know what, the guy does lose a lot of matches, so he is a team player. You know, so maybe we should, you know, respect him a little bit more. That's WWE's mentality.
Would that have worked 20 years ago in the Attitude Era if he wasn't getting over?
No. No,
you don't think so. Or they would just want to rock.
Dude, the relationship is beyond repair between Roman and the fans. It's beyond repair.
Unless there is a transformation, I'm not just saying heel turn. There's got to be a total transformation in Braun Strowman. There's got to be a 180, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a heel turn, but there's got to be a 180 with Roman Reigns, the character. There's got
to
be a 180.
Well, I think he would have to go full heel and then turn face, and that's how they would, like, you know what I mean? He would need to have a run.
I think he needs to develop a personality, first and foremost. He needs somebody writing for him that doesn't make him out to be the biggest douche on earth. I love the fact, like, he never gets to look like a human being, and that's what kills his character even more. Like, the B-team coming by, even during the, hey, blah, 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 blah. God forbid Roman look like a person and go, yeah, good job, guys. Give him a fucking pound or something. Because here's the thing. Aren't we supposed to like the B-team? Aren't we supposed to cheer for them? Well, aren't we supposed to think that they're an underdog? Oh, wait, you're the big dog.
Take the storyline, like, stupidity one step further. All right. Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns was not injured tonight. So right. when Seth Rollins cuts the promo in the back, you know, I got three obstacles tonight. I got Dolph Ziggler, I got Drew McIntyre, and I got time. So they're asking him, you know, are you concerned that Drew McIntyre's at ringside? Now, who's been coming to the rescue of Seth Rollins on Raw? Roman Reigns. So in storyline, why didn't Roman Reigns go down to ringside to be there for Seth Rollins?
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so little things like that. I think that possibly would help Roman Reigns get a little bit more over.
It's true.
They masquerade it. But the reason why, I mean, the answer why they didn't have him at ringside is because Seth Rollins was not meant to win tonight.
No, it's true. You got it. But, you know, the one thing I'll say about Roman Reigns is that too cool for school attitude he has. And listen, The Rock had it. Austin had it. That swagger that some of the heel / baby faces have. Even if they're a baby face, they're kind of more heelish. He doesn't do it with charisma. Like, you're right, Joe. He's got no personality. He's smug, but smug heels were cool even back in the day. Guys used to be able to pull that off, but Reigns is missing that intangible of charisma that it didn't bleed over from the Rock side of the family.
They focused so much on making him a star that they didn't make him a human being.
Right.
That's why people feel no qualms and shitting on him, telling him he's garbage. They fucking dump on him nonstop because he's not humanized.
And Joe, it's funny. He has three children, well, and he's with the same wife for years. He's a family man. He's not a single schmucky guy who lives in a penthouse and banging chicks all the time and acting like a fucking, you know, he's actually clearly like somewhat of a decent person that I don't understand why he can't connect to fans and kids and people. I don't understand why.
Well, that's why when he cuts promos once in a while, he'll throw out of the bag, I got kids at home. I got a wife and family at home. And, you know, when he does that, nobody gives a shit.
Well,
it's,
dude,
it's weird.
But that's it. He can sit there and he can say all he wants. I got a wife. I got a kid, you know, blah, 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 blah. But when he's looking at a mostly male audience, they're sitting there going, yeah, so what? Me too. I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, how are you going to win sympathy for people when they're all from the same place?
Sympathy, but being relatable.
Relatable.
Dude, that's like being like, hey, man, when I wake up in the morning, I got to brush my teeth. Yeah, we all do, dickhead. What do you want, a fucking medal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, no one cares. Like, it's way past its expiration point as far as him being somebody that can repair that character. Mm-hmm. The character's dead. The look's dead. The playing it off to people like he's a cool guy who's hip, it's cringeworthy at best.
And now, Joey, Michael Cole has to say, because when he gets booed the second his music hits, the most polarizing man in sports entertainment.
Well,
that's a fairly new thing. That's a fairly new approach.
Like, that's a thing that we want. Like, that's a thing that fans or the WWE wanted, but they insist on it. Mm-hmm. They fucking swear. Like, why do they feel that they need somebody that 90%, maybe not 90, I'm sorry, only 75% of the crowd fucking hates.
Sure.
Why do they feel the need to that? And anybody that can sit there and can go, well, he sells a lot of t-shirts. Well, I got news for you. When you're the only one of the five t-shirts that's available at a merch table, you're going to sell more.
Well, he does have a fan base, Joe. You can't deny he doesn't have a fan base with girls and kids. You know, he does.
Where are they? Because they seem to get drowned out in every arena every week.
Because you got a bunch of big burly guys and you have 7-year-olds and waify 130-pound women. How are they going to not be drowned out by men?
They need a John Cena. And you know, years ago I said that Reigns was going to get the Cena push. He's the John Cena of this current generation.
But he doesn't have John's Teflon.
It took people a good while to get sick of Cena.
Yeah.
They didn't hate Cena right out the bat. They didn't boo Cena for 3 years straight. They didn't cringe when they found out he was the main event.
Well, I think we were doing the hotline back then in DT. I remember us having segments in, what was it, 204, 205, where Cena was getting booed at that point. That is true.
But it hits a wall. Everything hits a wall.
He was doing Thug Life, too, so he was over for a little while. He had a persona. People were bitter.
He had a better personality, and I don't like Cena. I make fun of Cena all the time, but he had a much bigger personality. Roman does not have the personality.
And Cena's Teflon. He
just doesn't have the personality. personality. He's just not a charismatic person. He's like what Joe Rogan called CM Punk untalented when it comes to MMA. He said, yeah, he's just genuinely untalented. Roman has no personality. You can't invent it for people just because you like the way they look.
CM Punk fans were bitter at the time because there was no reason to change John Cena. They were angry at WWE at that time because they forced the John Cena transformation from Thuganomics to big time role model, children, you can't see me shit. And fans did not like it, didn't want to accept it. And it's pretty much follow John Cena throughout his career. Something like that's never happened with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns was never that badass, you know, real jerk, jackass that was just, you know, so obnoxious that he was cool. And, you know, they're trying to do with Kevin Owens, with Roman Reigns now, what they did with John Cena. And John Cena at one point was pretty much cool. He would come out with the retro jerseys. Everybody would eat it up. He would do these crazy raps, say some really horrible, obnoxious stuff. And then WWE needed to go to PG, and he was going to be their role model. And fans didn't like it, didn't accept it. The kids loved it. The girls didn't care because they still had their sexy men on TV. And it, you know, it followed Cena. So Roman Reigns doesn't have that, you know, that track record where, you know, maybe, you know, he'll turn eventually that, you know, in people's
eventually
eyes.
Eventually he will.
He's got to have a complete transformation. But, next match, Nia Jax loses to Alexa Bliss. For those that participated in the Patreon contest, that tiebreaker, the unofficial time in the match was 7 minutes, 30 seconds. We had Mickey James get involved. We had Ronda Rousey get involved. I mean, the match was just an absolute clusterfuck. And
terrible.
It just basically ended out of nowhere where Nia Jax was sleeping in the middle of the ring while all this brawling was going out outside.
Did she actually literally take a nap?
She was just on her knees. It looked like she lost her contacts because for about 2 minutes, she's just like wobbling around the ring like she's looking for contacts. And basically, Alexa Bliss takes a chair. There was even one point during the match. It's Extreme Rules. And if you remember her promo on Monday, that she was fucking loving that it was an Extreme Rules match. And she's throwing weapons out of the ring. She's got weapons, and she's throwing them out. So anyway, Alexa Bliss gets the win. And they made mention that Ronda Rousey is still suspended until Wednesday. You know, so we won't have her on Raw. And it was funny because they kind of even teased that because she got involved that Kurt Angle should suspend her for another 30 days.
Yeah, Corey Graves said that.
That would be pretty fucking funny if they did that. I mean, since she really hasn't had any matches on television other than a pay-per-view.
That was
funny. Did you guys catch those pillow shot chair shots?
The fluff shots, they call them. And that was funny when Graves said, yeah, Ronda Rousey interferes. How about the guy next to her? Let her get involved in the match. Anybody can get involved in the match. Because Michael Cole said it's extreme rules. So what did that mean that it could get involved in the
garbage.
Match?
It was garbage. It was
garbage.
Going to wrap this up soon because we're already going almost 90 minutes, and this is going to be added to Monday's show. So obviously, for those tuning in right now, Monday's show will be very abbreviated. Luckily we won't have to talk about Extreme Rules at all because you got it all here. AJ Styles retaining over Rusev.
Solid. It's fun match. I mean, it was good. It was two guys that I like for a change. I actually got to watch a match with two people that I went, I would enjoy either of these guys winning. That's unusual. You know, like it wasn't a moment where I sat there and went, oh God, there was no moaning and groaning. I was just, okay, there's not a snowball's chance in hell of Rusev winning this, but still, you know, still a fun match to watch. Mm-hmm. Good for Rusev. Hopefully this doesn't mean that they return him to the absolute doldrums of hell, but they more than likely will. But no, it was a good match. Fun to watch.
You surprised Samoa Joe didn't come out?
Yes.
I thought they sent him down to NXT.
Really?
Who, Samoa Joe?
I just made that up.
Oh, no. I was like, so what, did you hear something at a house show?
I love AJ Styles. He's a great champion, but do you guys want to see somebody else hold this belt at this point?
Who else? There's nobody else. I mean, I like Rusev, and he's fucking great and all, but considering our other, you know, finger quote, world title likes to show up once every 7.5 months. What what the fuck else are we going to do? I mean, there's really no one else that can, carry that crown. Who are you going to give it to?
I'd say seeing as how it's the only major title now, you know, you got to be selective with who gets it.
Yeah, I'd say give it to Big Cass, but I mean, my goodness, he's already got it. But no, it was a good match. It was a fun match.
I was all right. Yeah.
I don't think many people thought that Rusev had any chance of getting the title.
It's the only match I got right, DT, in the whole friggin' thing that I called.
I'd like to see Rusev possibly feud with Nakamura. You know, really? It's not going to happen right now. Well, what's going to happen with Rusev? You know, are they going to go for tag titles? I mean, him and Aiden English are going to go for tag titles against Bludgeons. I mean, I'd like to see Rusev be rewarded for not only, I mean, not just Rusev Day, but, you know, we go back to before WrestleMania where we, you know, everybody was behind Rusev and WWE just would not pull the trigger. You know, they just wouldn't.
It's a popularity contest, and I don't think they like Rusev. That's just my opinion.
This was his thank you for selling all these t-shirts.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. That's really what it felt like. We got to give him a match somewhere. All right, let's do it on Extreme Rules.
Yeah, that's what I think it was. Here you go. Yeah.
In SummerSlam, he'll be on the pre-show. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
He will. Now, make a prediction. SummerSlam, he'll fight Aiden English on the pre-show.
He may not even be on it.
He might not even be there.
Yeah. Main event, 30-minute Iron Man match. Seth Rollins loses to Dolph Ziggler. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I mean, I just felt like the Raw matches were much more entertaining. To see like 7 pins in 5 minutes or whatever it was, I just thought was ridiculous. Even though kind of common sense. Anybody that's followed Iron Man matches going back history, you know, if a wrestler was laid out, yes, you got a 20 or 30 second breather period, like just to give you a little break. But in storyline, if you knock your opponent out after the 30 seconds, you just want to keep pinning them over and over and over again. And me, I always joked around when I was a kid, said, you know what? The best thing to do is put him in a sleeper. Put him to sleep, and then every 30 seconds, you just pin him because he's sleeping. And you just keep racking up pins. So kind of like Dolph getting these flurry of pins so quickly because Seth Rollins was out makes sense. But I don't know. It just didn't play off well. I thought the last 5 minutes of the match was the most entertaining of the whole thing.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. For me, it just did not click. It felt like Seth Rollins' work on Raw really clicked a lot more than what we got tonight. And not only that, I mean, I totally understand they tried to sell the idea that Drew McIntyre interfering, it cost Dolph Ziggler a pin, but in the end, it helped him. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee in suspension of disbelief. There's no guarantee that that would help. So why would you do that in the first place? That doesn't make sense. Or you turn around and Drew McIntyre hits Dolph Ziggler. So this way, Seth Rollins gets disqualified. Dolph Ziggler gets the fall, and then immediately after, during that 20, 30-second rest period, you have Drew McIntyre beat the fuck out of Seth Rollins. See, that's just me thinking a little bit outside the box. Yeah. I don't know. It just did not feel like it flowed all that well today. And I had no problem with the fans doing a countdown with the 10 seconds and all that.
That's the big buzz. And tomorrow you'll hear a lot more about that.
I had no issue with that. The fans wanted to have some fun. I mean, us as home viewers, you know, the pay-per-view was average at most. I mean, you look at the matches one by one, it was average at most. Oscar versus Carmella was not good. Nakamura versus Jeff Hardy went 6 seconds. Kevin Owens, take away that spot, it went 5 minutes. Hell No told a fun story, but in the end, it was what it was. Lashley versus Roman Reigns was average. Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss was not good. AJ Styles versus Rusev was fun, but it was average. You know, you go down the line, I mean, there was really nothing that was massive. So it was an average pay-per-view. It was not bad. But when you just take everything as a whole, you know, it's like, all right, this is the main event. It just did not feel like it clicked.
Well, do you think there has to be some acknowledgement with the crowd just basically getting bored to death?
Yes. They sit there for 4 hours. It's too long. No one acknowledges their existence.
Almost 5 hours. Because you got the pre-show at 6 o'clock, plus you got to get inside the building and get to your seat. So they're there 5 to 6 hours. So, you know, for us at home, you know, the pay-per-view was average. But for those live in attendance, look, you go to a live event, you're usually entertained. Pay-per-views are usually entertained. But, you know, when you're there that long and you've gone through what we just explained and then you have that main event, sometimes, you know what, at that point you want to entertain yourself a little bit. The fans were having fun. They were going from 10 to 1. Big fucking deal. They weren't shitting on the match because when Rollins hit his moves, the crowd popped. It's not like they chanted. They didn't chant Rusev Day. They didn't chant boring.
CM Punk.
They didn't chant CM Punk. This is what happens when you do any type of a match with a clock.
And guys, also you're forgetting who Seth Rollins' opponent was. A guy that a lot of people still perceived as a job guy for the longest time.
Yeah.
Dolph Ziggler is little Shawn Michaels. I get it. I'm sorry. They are dudes with attitudes. That's the gimmick I see. The big heater with Drew Diesel and now this guy. It's clear. It's clear as day. It's clear as day.
But listen, the
perception, he's a great worker. Ricky Morton was a great worker, too. I don't want to see him in an Iron Man match in the main event against Magnum TA. So, I mean, it's, you know, come on. We got guys in their roles. Dolph Ziggler can hold that championship belt. I think a lot of fans there. What do you think of Dolph Ziggler? Kind of indifferent to him.
But the show was too long. Listen, my two daughters went to a YouTube girl's doing a concert, right? She has a character, this girl, Colleen Ballinger. They did a meet and greet at 4:30 to 6, and then the concert started at 7, and the show was over by 9. This is somebody who's probably never going to come to this town again, who's probably not going to be popular again, and the whole thing lasted a couple of hours. You know why? Because it was geared towards young girls.
Right.
And teenage girls, and their interest is limited. You can't park your ass in a seat like that for 5 fucking hours and expect people to be really enthralled, you know, with mediocre to average matches for the moment.
Oh, and by the way, guys, I don't know how long it's been since you've been to like a live Raw or SmackDown, but it's not even like where it was when we were younger, where they would try to do shit to in between. Oh, let's do some trivia. Let's throw some T-shirts in the crowd.
They don't acknowledge the crowd.
They show you advertisements. That's all they do. They show you ads. So you pay money to be at a show that you already paid for to watch advertisements for something that you're already at. So imagine that's how you expect to keep people going. Let's turn the lights down low and show you commercials for Skittlepox and see how fucking much excitement you're going to have by hour 4.5.
Is it that commercialized now? I don't remember. When me and my brother Draper were going to the Attitude Era wrestling in the 90s.
Even the NXT shows are a lot, man.
Yeah, there was no commercial. There's a lot of commercialism now of everything.
Kev, it's methodical torture to go to a Raw now. I went on Monday and I was legitimately pissed the fuck off because by 9:30 I'd watched about 40 advertisements. I'm sitting there going, because it's like, and here's so and so coming down to the ring, and now let's watch 6 ads. By the way, for shit I've already seen, for something that I'm already at, for things that we already own, for things that you've already could go buy. So you paid money to sit in a movie and watch advertisements. Okay, that's basically what it's like. That's how they present it. Picture if you were going to see an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Terminator 2, okay, in 1991. And they were like, okay, guys, you really psyched into this? Oh, there's the T-1000. Now here's an advertisement for Clearasil.
Oh, God.
It's like that every 2 or 3 minutes for hours. For hours. And then, like I said, the people sit there and they go, well, this crowd's so disrespectful. They're fucking bored.
That's true. And I don't know if you guys know, 205 just ended after the pay-per-view just now.
Did it?
No, I'm just kidding.
No. Are you fucking serious?
Stick around. We got 205 right after the pay-per-view.
They do everything they can to treat their audience like they're a burden. And then get confused when they act negatively. Wow. It's like when you get invited to somebody's house for Christmas and no one talks to you, and then you want to leave at 8:30 and they're like, wow, you just got here.
Yeah, it's like an uncalled. Yeah, I didn't know it was that bad. I guess, I mean, when I really take a look at it, I haven't been to a live event in about 10 years.
Wow. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I'll tell you this, I know you don't drink, but you might need to if you go to one of these shows.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? And by the way, me and my brother were going to shows when they were shorter, but also no one had cell phones. Nope. You just fucking sat there.
Yeah, you did. You had no choice.
Nobody had a phone. You didn't call somebody. You didn't play a video game or check a tweet. But you just fucking sat there.
But yeah. Raw was 2 hours. It was fast. Things happened. You'd get in. You'd sit down. Something would happen. You'd take a piss, and you were going home.
Well, you were interested. Like, oh my God. That thing too. Like, I remember being like, I really want to pee, but I don't want to miss something.
And leaving the arena was fun because you were talking about how great the show was. You
know? John, the people walked out of the arena the same way people walk off an airplane terminal.
Oh God.
Where they're just like, they're walking up it like they got they have like neck pillows and they're dragging a fucking bag behind them. Like, they're just like, I just want to go home. I just want to go to bed. Like, is that how you're supposed to leave an exciting night of action? No.
So Joe, you're saying your experience was like a flight from Maine to Minnesota?
More like a flight from Boston to Australia. That's how it
goes. Jesus.
With no stops, and all I got were peanuts.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And a half a can of Sprite.
Oh, God. Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you guys give the pay-per-view today?
Scaled?
Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10. I give it a 5.
For the year, I give it a 6.5.
Okay.
I give it a 6. Because it's been better than of the last three pay-per-views. This was the least. This was the less shitty than the last two. Yeah. So I'll say 6.
I give it a 5.
I agree with DT. I'll give it a 5 too. Yeah,
I thought it was average. I mean, you know, Kevin Owens' spot was great. They had a couple of little moments here and there, but you know, for the most part, if friend of yours didn't see the pay-per-view and said, "Hey, which matches should I watch?" You know what I mean? You would only come up with maybe like 2 or 3. You would tell
obviously the KO spot.
Yeah, you would see the KO spot and maybe the Iron Man match because it is, you know, Ziggler. But
I would tell people, DT, to watch the Sanity New Day match.
Yeah. Well, that's pre-show. That's pre-show.
No, but I'm just saying, yeah.
Yeah, if we include pre-show, then I'll give it a 6 because I thought the pre-show was actually those two matches back-to-back I thought were very entertaining.
I agree. Okay. Yeah. If we're in the we should add the pre-show because it's all part of it.
So I'll give it a 6.
All right. I'll give it a 6 too. I'll give it a 6 too.
So, all right. Well, we went 96 minutes.
Wow.
And, you know, I want to thank you guys for allowing us to invade Soup's recap tonight. Our thoughts are with Mish. He had a personal issue, and we'll let him, you know, I guess, talk to all of you on Thursday for Wrestling Soup. I will be giving this audio to Mish as well, and he will, I'm sure, be including it on Wrestling Soup. For our Patreon audience, it will be added to tonight's broadcast, and it will also be added to Monday's DTKC show for download. So look out for that. And, guys, anything else you want to wrap up with before we call it?
No, thank you for filling in for Mish tonight. And by the way, Mish is fine. He's physically fine.
Oh, yeah, he's physically sick. Fine. Yeah, it was just fine.
I don't want anybody to, because I know people message me to be like, is Mish
family dying? Family matter you had to attend to. Family matter. Yeah, that's really what it was. It's nothing, you know, physically, you know, affecting Mish in any way. He just had a family issue he had to attend to.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, guys. I'll talk to you during the week.
And DT, I'll see you tomorrow night, DT.
Definitely.
Everyone,
all right, take care, everyone. All right, listen, for those tuning in, DTKC show Monday night, stay tuned because you have the Monday, July 16th edition of the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show.